Civil War over at DC Studios, a huge exit from Marvel Studios, and our Last of Us Season 1 wrap-up. We're talking all that and more on this week's show. I'm your host, Nick.
And I'm Anthony.
And welcome to That Superhero Thing.
Let's do it.
Welcome to what is probably going to be the last ever That Superhero Thing, because there's not going to be any Marvel or DC next week, because both companies are just completely crumbling.
My heart sank then for a second, because I thought you were going to say last episode.
You thought that was like... my announcement to you, as we're recorded.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Just get it done.
Mic drop.
It's been like, it's like watching Mean Girls this week at Marvel and DC.
Oh my God, I know.
It's ridiculous. And spoilers, it's going to make up the majority of our news article.
While we're
for
doing this
week.
Bit, can we just play the din, 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 you know, from Mean Girls as they're walking down the thing?
It's ridiculous. It's just every joke, day man. There's another story of he called him a dickhead and he slept with her and all that sort of stuff, and he called him a slut, and it's just like leave it alone. Children, sort yourselves out. But anyway, we're going to talk through all that. So on this week's show, we're breaking down all the biggest comic movie news, including Shazam's box office woes and Victoria Alonso parting ways with Marvel Studios. We'll then be giving you a full review of The Last of Us Season 1 before listening to your thoughts and theories in this week's PodFans Assemble. This is also your spoiler warning. There will be spoilers and speculation throughout the episode. Finally, if you want to skip ahead to The Last of Us review or to PodFans Assemble, then we'll put timestamps in the description as always. We're going to kick things off with DC news again. This week, 2 weeks in a row.
Crazy!
Specifically, completely non-spoilery Shazam news. We're not going to enter spoilers. It's been out for a week.
Yeah.
No one's seen it. We know. That's what the story's about.
That's part of the problem.
That's pretty much it. So, as we know, Shazam Fury of the Gods dropped last weekend. And to be honest, after the positive reaction that the first one had, and the fact that this is the first DC movie in like 2 years, I personally thought this was going to do all right at the box office.
The problem that you've got is... it's the first one to go into the box office after everyone's gone, doesn't fucking matter anymore.
I suppose.
And I think that's made everyone go, well, what's the point in watching it? Because it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, but the first Shazam was good. And I just thought people would want to watch it.
At the same time, I can fully get behind people that are going, well, what's the point? Because they're just about to reboot it.
I know.
They're only putting it out because they've already filmed it.
Yeah,
that's what people are going to say.
Like, I had the feeling that it was going to somehow link. Maybe not. Mm. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, so the movie had a projected opening weekend of $85 million.
Yeah.
And it only did $65.5 million globally. For comparison, Quantumania did $225 million weekend.
And everyone said that bombed.
Scream 6 did more in its opening weekend.
Oh no.
It did 67, and that's R rated. And it still beats Shazam when it's open weekend. To add to all that, critically, it's bombed as well. It currently sits at 53% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is still better than Quantumania, to be fair. and the movie's director, David S. Sandberg, has been on Twitter and pretty much said he's done with superhero movies. He's not going to make any more, at least for now anyway.
Yeah, so he
doesn't even want to do it. To see what you guys thought, though, we threw a quick poll up on Twitter earlier in the week. We asked whether, in light of the sequel basically being a flop, should James Gunn do a hard reboot on the DCU and start fresh with an all-new cast, or was there still room for Zachary Levi's Captain Sparklefingers?
When I checked that, it was almost... it was like...
It was almost close. It was really close.
Has it changed since?
In the end, only 47% wanted to save Shazam. 53% want a full DC reboot.
Yeah.
What do you want? After Shazam, do you still want Zachary Levi in the DCU? Or do we just need to start afresh?
I think Zachary Levi would be good.
Yeah, I think he was good.
Like, I don't think there's any problem with it. But I'm just at the point where I'm wondering where the story would go if he was to hang about.
Yeah.
Because, so there's a couple of problems. You've got the fact that Billy's getting older anyway.
Yeah.
So that's going to become an issue pretty soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's pretty much
without spoiling
age.
It, he's like nearly 18.
Yeah, yeah. But then the other thing is, if we're looking at the reboot happening and Levi staying, you've also got the idea that we're looking at a younger Superman.
Yeah.
So that won't fall in line with... the whole Shazam thing.
No,
either.
It won't. No, I suppose, yeah.
So that's
I don't know how they're going to work it.
No, I don't.
Again, they could make this Shazam part of a different universe and all that sort of stuff.
But they could have different parts of the timeline of the the DC.
It's just a mess, isn't it?
It just means that you wouldn't get the same kind of crossovers that you normally would.
I know. Well, no, I know, but I think they just need to have it as one big thing now, still.
Yeah.
But just make it more coherent and more consistent, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, as much as I, you know, not getting into spoilers, we didn't think Shazam was the best movie ever, but we both really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And as much as I did enjoy it, I think we kind of just need to start afresh.
Yeah.
And just have a whole new Shazam.
Yeah.
And just do it again, which just feels like such a waste.
It does feel like a waste.
Anyway, it is what it is. Sticking with DC, particularly Shazam. So we've had Batman v Superman. Now we've got Shazam v Black Adam. Or more specifically, Zachary Levi versus Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So as we said, it's all kicked off in the DC school playground this week. The Wrap has released an article suggesting that The Rock has basically tried to make the DCU all about him. And he wanted the whole Black Adam v Superman story to basically be at the heart of the universe after Black Adam. Just wanted to be all about that. Obviously, that's not gone to plan because that's not what's happening anymore.
Yeah.
There's going to be a hard reboot. Apparently, The Rock hasn't been playing nice with anybody else in the DCU.
No.
He's just, again, he's quite happy to, not, I don't want to say tread on people, but he's not bothered about what happens with any other project as long as his project is the lead. So apparently, the original Shazam post-credit scene, again, I suppose we're into spoilers. We tried not to, but I can't not spoiler. The original Shazam post-credit scene was supposed to be the JSA from Black Adam. So like Hawkman and Atom and the girl, not Dr. Fate or whatever, but because obviously he's dead. Spoilers for Black Adam. But they were the ones who were supposed to be recruiting Shazam.
Yeah.
And then at the last minute, The Rock vetoed it and they had to get Amelia Harcourt and the other dude in at the last minute. This tracks completely with a previous comment from David F. Sandberg, the director, where he said that the original post-credit scene fell apart 3 days before they were supposed to film it. So it was very, very last minute. The Rock stepped in and just said, I'm not having that. He also vetoed Shazam having a cameo in Black Adam because he wants to completely restructure the DCU around him and Cavill. I mean, from what we've seen and heard, but even like just from the way that the post-credit scene was in Black Adam, the post-credit scene in that Super Pets movie was all set to be Shazam versus Superman as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes sense. And it's very believable. But then to add fuel to the fire, Zachary Levi shared all this information this week on his Instagram.
Yeah.
And then put a message at the bottom to say the truth shall set you free. So clearly he's not happy about all this either.
No.
Who do you believe? Is everybody a bit in the wrong? Is The Rock just a complete bad guy?
I feel like this is the celebrity version of it's just me and the kids from now on. You know, them Facebook posts that you see, live, laugh, love.
Yeah.
I'm just focusing on me and the kids. Like, it's very much like you're trying to belittle other people by putting stuff out there on social media.
Yeah.
And so to a degree, no matter what, I feel like everybody's a bit to blame for that. Anyone that's posted something. Because it's just like, the whole point is that, like, these stories do end up having an effect on the films that you watch them in because your opinion of them changes.
I know, but a little bit of me is also like, is this very clever marketing? Because no one was talking about Shazam and no one went to see it. And now it's just like top news everywhere. The whole fallout from this.
I don't know, because has any more people gone to see it since?
Probably not, no.
It's only got 53% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, probably so. Not. I don't know. It's like as much as I sit there and I look at it and I look at these supposed facts about like The Rock just taking over and him wanting to just step in and just completely take control of the DCU.
Yeah.
This was all before Gunn and Peter Safran were put in charge.
Yeah.
So as much as it seems like a bit of a dick move, at the same time you could look at it as the DCU was a complete mess. Zack Snyder was gone. No one was running it. Has The Rock just seen an opportunity to step in and try and restructure it? Because I know Black
100%.
Adam. Yeah, but is that necessarily a bad thing then?
I don't think it was a bad thing at the shambles. Time. It was pragmatic. It was taking advantage of the situation as it was unfolding.
It's not. I agree. It probably was. But think back to when we watched Black Adam. And I know critically that's done shit as well.
Yeah.
But we really enjoy Black Adam.
Yeah, we did.
And we both came out of it going, if this is the DCU going forward,
I'm okay with
around
it.
This JSA and Black Adam, I am good with it.
Yeah.
It's just, so maybe that, I don't know. It's still a bit of a dick move though, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I kind of get it.
Yeah. But then, again, it's that whole being pragmatic thing. Like at the time that he said that, everyone would have gone, fucking hell, DC's falling apart. And The Rock said, let me come in and do something
fix
with this.
It to a degree, yeah.
It's The Rock. He's just done Jumanji. He's just been, you know, like, he's been in everything recently. Mm. So he's doing really, really well. And he's come in and said, I want to do this project. Yeah. You'd throw money at him to do it.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he's been making everything successful so far. So for that, like, I get the whole decision process throughout that. But then once it seems to be going in a direction, it seems like he's spat his dummy out.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And that's the bit where I go, mate, just walk away gracefully if that's the case. Like, don't.
But then to be fair, The Rock is at the moment being quite graceful about it. He's not come out and said anything after all these reports. I know they're only a couple of days old, whereas yeah. Zachary Levi is like all over it. He's like being a bit shitty to a degree, but at yeah. the same time, he's probably just pissed off he stand up for himself. And yeah. he feels like something that they'd done really well, Shazam 1, has yeah. now to a degree been ruined because they weren't given the creative freedom that they probably should have been given.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And again, tying the JSA from Black Adam into Shazam post-credits would have been, that's the sort of thing that DC needs. It yeah, needs yeah. links rather yeah. than just a body double of Henry Cavill showing up and you only see him from the chin down.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is a mess, but I don't know, hopefully it's all positive going forward. But the more that we talk about this, the more I am like, we just need a hard reboot.
Yeah,
just start from scratch, and hopefully James Gunn's the guy to do it.
Yeah,
should we talk a bit of Marvel then? Should we start with yeah. Blade? Let's talk about Blade. So we know that the Blade reboot has had loads of problems since it was first announced at SDCC, which, would you believe, it was 2019.
Jesus Christ.
4 years ago, that was. So in 4 years, it's lost its director.
Yeah.
It's had loads of rewrites, but now it seems like it's starting to head in the right direction. So this week, Jeff Snyder has revealed that things have gotten a little bit better and the script improved, he said, which sounds all positive, obviously, because it's been a complete shit show up till now.
Yeah.
He went on to say, though, that in order to improve the script, they've had to strip tons of stuff back that was originally supposed to be in it, to the point where the script is currently only 87 pages long.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's quite short, isn't it? And apparently one of the biggest things that they've stripped out of it is Kit Harington's Black Knight. He said Blade was going to tie in with the Eternals and Kit Harington's Black Knight. That'd be a proper crossover. But now Black Knight's not really involved in the Blade thing anymore. So they've just cut him out completely. Oh, is that a bad thing?
For Kit, yeah.
Well, no, it is, but it's a bad thing for Kit, like. But is that a bad thing for the MCU in general?
You don't know. Now Jon Snow.
Did you want a Blade movie with Kit Harington's Black Knight? Or did you just want a Blade movie?
Well, we all wanted a Blade movie, but the fact that there was that whole thing at the end of Eternals.
Yeah.
Like, how do you get from there now to Blade? Because
I
it was Blade's voice.
I know. I don't think you do. I think it'll be one of them things that never gets touched on. Like Hercules popping up at the end of Thor, Love and Thunder. We'll never see that guy. We'll never see him again. And we'll pretend that it didn't happen. Honestly. No. I feel like that's where it's going. They've just tried to do too much.
They need to stop doing that, though.
They do. Well,
if you're going to do an end credit scene, you need to do stuff that you're planning to use at a later date.
Not
whether
just
it's now or in 6 years.
Everything constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah. It's just, yeah, it is. Well, I just don't think it's a massive loss. Again, it's very bad news for Kit Harington. I just don't think it's a huge loss. There's just too much going on. The Eternals was too much. We didn't need the Eternals. That was just a waste of 2 hours, wasn't it? And however many millions of dollars.
I know, but Harry Styles, man.
No. Thank God. There's one that's probably not going to happen. And that's not a bad thing.
Eros.
Not a bad thing. Carrying on with Marvel then, someone else who isn't really involved in the Blade thing anymore or anything Marvel related is Victoria Alonso, because she's gone completely. She's left the company after 17 years. Huge shock to pretty much everyone, because she was, let me get the whole title right, president of physical, post-production, VFX and animation at the studio. That was her job title. It's a big job title, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just know she just sat there and put her business card together herself. Because she's like, I'm going to be in charge of this and this and this. But she's been there since the start. So she was an executive producer, I think, on Iron Man in 2008. So she's been there for ages. She's basically part of the fabric of the MCU, really, isn't she? According to Variety, it wasn't a mutual decision between Alonso and Marvel. She was fired by Disney. They said Kevin Feige wasn't involved in the decision-making process, but he did choose not to step in when he found out. So he sort of let them run with it when he found out they were gonna sack her.
Okay.
There's not been any official word from Marvel as to why she's been sacked, but Variety reckons it's down to the fact that she was under a lot of pressure due to delays, especially with Disney Plus shows. So there were originally supposed to be 5 Disney Plus shows this year. Agatha one of them, weren't you saying before? Yeah, that's now been postponed indefinitely.
So that's now just got a TBD date next to it.
I'm not sad about that. I kind of want it, but I'd rather they did it right rather than
just and rush I'm the same. Like, again, we've been saying this. We want quality over quantity.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for me, I'm quite shocked that you've just said that about it being pressure about delays and stuff like that, because for me, no,
I think the delays have come. I don't necessarily get the impression from this that the delays are just because they've chosen to just delay things to get the quantity over quality, the quality over quantity even.
You think they're like just over capacity?
Yeah, yeah. Overcapacitated. Okay. If that's a word. Words?
I was going to say that and I stopped myself because I know
you
thought
you were
going
to say, I could tell you were going to say it. And I was like, I'll finish it off. But yeah, so it's probably going to be three series at most now. Apparently the pressure built up on Victoria Alonso, and Disney weren't happy with how she conducted herself in reaction to it. So that's why they let her go.
Well, it was funny because when we first heard about that, I said, oh, do you reckon that's all the VFX stuff?
I think it is.
And then there was a mention specifically about the VFX artists have all come out and said.
Some of them have.
So yeah, not all of them. Some haven't. Sorry. But the ones that have come out, they've said she was the
she was the
toxic one.
Yeah, yeah.
She was the one that was causing a lot of the issues.
Twitter's completely blown up with trusted sources saying that they know this person. So Chris Lee, who is a senior reporter for Vulture, he's been told by multiple VFX artists that she was singularly responsible for Marvel's toxic work environment, like you said.
Yeah.
A VFX tech said that she was the main one that everyone was scared of at Marvel. And then another one said that if she likes you, you're going to get work. If you've pissed her off in any way, you're going to get frozen out.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of negative. But then on the flip side, Joanna Robinson from The Ringer has refuted all this. And she said that this is an absolute opposite of what she's heard from every person who's ever worked with her. And she went on to say that she'd call it a gross mischaracterization.
So I've got to question that, though. Because if you want to get anywhere in the business, do you go to anybody else and say this person was a bit of a dickhead when you know they're so high up?
No, I suppose you don't. And
that's the thing for me. Like, you can go, oh, everyone's always told me she's great. Yeah, because you want more work at the end of the day.
Yeah, I suppose.
Like, and you don't want to step on toes.
Anyone she's pissed off is saying that she's going to get sacked.
Exactly. If you're witnessing that, then you're going to essentially kiss her ass, aren't you? No. So for me, that doesn't really tell me anything. I just think, okay, you've been told that, but you're high up and she's high up. So
yeah, no, it makes sense. I don't know. I mean, there's
I've had bosses that I've hated. Would I ever say that to anybody? No.
No, but you'll probably find that to a degree it's being exaggerated.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's probably a bit of truth to it.
Yeah.
Either way, I would imagine, to be perfectly honest, that the reason that she's gone is because of the complete lackluster response to anything Marvel related recently.
Yeah.
The VFX have all looked a bit shit. Story-wise has been crap. That's clearly not her problem or her responsibility.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's all just gone a little bit meh. Yeah. Recently, which we've talked about to death, but hopefully this will just result in a more streamlined process, like the Blade script.
Do you reckon they just walked in the office one morning and went, who signed off Murdoch's face?
Yeah, that's the only reason.
Victoria!
That's the only reason she's been
she fucking marched down the catwalk over Murdoch's face.
I wouldn't surprise me, literally. Someone needed sacking over that. Do you know though? Hopefully they're going to get back to basics and just going to, rather than trying to do 100 different things, just pick a story and just go with that story
And
just have it interconnect. Obviously, you need different stories like they did in phase one.
Yeah.
But they're all coming together to one thing a bit more obviously than what the 27 project in phase four have done. And we've not got a clue until Quantumania just to see frigging Kang. Not Kang, Murdoch. That face, man. Nightmares. Should we finish news with something a bit more lighthearted?
Yes.
It's not Marvel and it's not DC. Thank God, because that's depressing. This week, we got the most nostalgic trailer I have seen in a long time. So we got our first look at Netflix's Power Rangers 30th anniversary special, Once and Always. Excited?
I kind of am, yeah.
I am. I'm proper excited.
I was in rehearsals when you sent me that and I showed it to the lads and they were like, shut up, can we do a movie night?
Yeah, do you know what? I think it's because we've got the original season one Power Rangers back in the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For I think the first time ever. So we've got David Yost as the original Blue Ranger, Billy, and Walter Jones as the original Black Ranger, Zach. There's other legacy cast members too, but they're
Zach was the one with the glasses, wasn't he?
No, Billy was the one with the glasses.
Billy's the one with the glasses?
Yeah, and Zach was the Black Ranger.
Okay.
Yeah. who hasn't been in it since he left.
Okay.
So he left like halfway through series one because of like not budgeting, pay dispute.
Oh.
And they all got replaced.
Artistic differences.
He's never come back since.
Oh, okay.
He's literally been out of it for like 30 years or 29 and a half years. So the fact that he's back,
amazing.
That's the big deal. Story-wise, it looks like Rita Repulsa, again, classic villain.
When I saw her in that clip, I was like, Rita.
It's amazing. Ugh! So she's got
they used Rita since the original series?
I don't know. I really stopped watching it when it finished.
Honestly, right, I just want to point this out again. That fan-made video on YouTube with Katie Sackhoff and Dawson.
James Van Der Beek. Dawson.
Dawson from Dawson's Creek.
He's just Dawson. He's always Dawson.
That's all I know him from. And he was in Scary Movie, and there was the whole Dawson joke in that, wasn't there?
Yeah.
As he climbs in the window. But, like, that was the best bit of writing.
Oh, it was really good.
And so well told, like I just fell in love with that, and I was like, if that was a trailer for a movie now,
yeah, you'd watch it
100%
definitely
100%.
Yeah,
thought it was a very clever look on it and all that kind of stuff. And then when it turned out to be Rita at the end, I was just like, shut up.
Well,
this
I'm
is
hoping because Netflix own it now, don't they? So
do they?
Well, I think so, yeah, because they're making projects.
Yeah.
So they've got a movie coming, and then they've got a TV series coming that's going to link into it, but it's all new. It's not going to be linked to like this.
This
30th anniversary. And hopefully that is going to be more serious.
Yeah.
But then I kind of like how campy and kiddie this is, purely because it's the old
characters
and they're back. But yeah, from story-wise, it looks like Rita's back. She's got a robotic body. Don't know why, clearly, because I assume just because the actress who played her, because it was all Japanese footage, wasn't it?
Yeah.
She's dead, basically, because it was like 30 years ago. But obviously the voice actress who did the English dub isn't. Looks like she's going to go back in time to try and kill the team before Zordon gave them powers, which is a bit dark, to be fair.
That is dark.
And then in the process, she ends up killing the original Yellow Ranger, Trini, who was played by Toy Trang, who actually passed away in real life in 2001, the original Yellow Ranger. So that's why they obviously can't bring her back.
So
they're writing her out. I'd guess that, because her daughter's in it, so I'm guessing that they're going to end up recruiting the daughter to be the new Yellow Ranger,
or
just for, at least for this battle. And then obviously all the other as many original members as they can get are going to come back for it. It's basically just going to be a huge nostalgia fest
to
celebrate 30 years of Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And I am 100% on board with it.
Yeah, me too.
Cannot wait. So it's out on April 19th.
That's
on
really
Netflix.
Close as well.
It is really close, yeah. It's only a couple of weeks away.
Week after Easter, guys.
We will 100% be covering it on the show.
Yeah,
because
why not?
It's Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same week as the Mandalorian finale, but Mandalorian finale is going to have to get kicked back a week because we're doing Power Rangers 30th anniversary. Definitely. That's us for news this week then. So should we talk about what we're going to review? So again, we're a little bit late with it, but we're going to do a full season wrap up of The Last of Us season one. Thought what we do is we'll do a bit of review of the series as a whole. We're not going to go into massive detail, but we'll sort of talk about each episode, because individually, most of them anyway, were really good with like their own highlights and stuff like that.
I would go as far as saying all of them were.
I think maybe. So what did you, I've played the game all the way through, and he's still stuck on the training level.
I haven't got to the first bloater in the school.
As someone who's not played the game and did very, very well not to have any of it spoiled.
I don't know how I managed that, to be
what
honest.
What did you think in general of the series and the story?
I just think the whole story is the best bit of writing that there's been in a very, very long time. I would go to say that this has been my favourite series to watch since COVID.
Yeah, it's up there, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
It's really, really good.
100%.
I'm trying to think of what was better, but...
Exactly. You can't.
Since COVID.
Because I racked my brain about it, and I was like, since COVID, there's not been anything.
Everything went a bit shit after COVID.
Yeah. Even, like, so I'm literally going back to 2020. It's the best one of the 20s.
That's a weird thing to say, isn't it?
We're in the 20s.
See, because I'm like, I'm thinking like Game of Thrones and stuff like that, but that was all pre-COVID.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really good. And I think it's dead easy to sit there and say about something like this, oh, it's really, really good for a video game adaptation. It's just good.
Yeah.
It's not even like it's good because of...
It stands for itself.
Exactly.
Because, yes, it's all based on the game and stuff, and there is a storyline to go around, but they have deviated from it. They have changed bits and all of that kind of stuff, and they've had to write
extra... Not massively,
but, you know, a lot of the time you're doing gameplay, the story is... clip cuts that are 45 seconds long each time and stuff like that. So to make kind of like a 9-hour series out of that, it's impressive.
No, I agree.
And to keep you as gripped as they did, it's impressive.
Yeah. And even, again, having played it, it's been a while since I've played it, but yeah. It still kept me guessing. I knew the end, knew the very end.
Yeah.
But other than that, I was still like, I didn't know the end.
So I was like,
yeah, I was waiting for using it to see where it went.
Yeah.
It's good though, isn't it?
Yeah, it was
good.
We'll
talk about the last episode.
I was stressed by the end.
Were you?
Yeah.
I don't know whether
I was happy about it or mad about it, but we'll talk about it.
It's done very, it gives you a very, me personally, had a very different feeling for what was going on from the TV series as it did from the show. It's exactly the same as far as I can remember, but I felt differently about it, and I felt like it tried to portray it in a different way as well.
Okay.
But again, we'll get there. Should we talk, do we cast when we go through episodes?
Yeah.
Because there's different cast members popping up as we go.
Yeah.
Sound. So, again, not huge detail, but episode one, we there's a lost episode where we did episode one, but yeah, it's one of them. We'll fly through episode one this time. Again, I just keep saying it was brilliant.
So I'm going to start with this. I loved that it was focused on Sarah.
Yes.
I loved that it was from her point of view to start off with. I like that about it, because obviously you didn't really get that in the game, did you?
No. I think you played as her a little bit. Did you not play as her, like, in the house?
I can't. I think so. Maybe.
But I feel like it was still glaringly obvious that she was going to die when you played the game. It didn't feel as much of a shock. Whereas the way that they portrayed it in this first episode, because it was all her.
Yeah.
If you didn't know what was coming, you could see her as being a main character.
The main character. Brilliant as
she
well.
She was, Nico Parker played Sarah.
She was fantastic.
She was really, really good, And as I said, she to a degree carried that episode right up until the end.
And what I loved about that as well, so, because obviously, first of all, the VFX.
In the episode.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The plane crashes, the explosions, like, all of that kind of stuff as the world's crumbling around them.
It was just dead intense.
Yeah, it was the whole time.
Without it being not scary.
Yeah.
Because it was scary, but it wasn't like a horror film scary. Yeah. It wasn't like blood-covered zombies running around and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It was really good, the fact that you didn't really see anything.
It was just constantly suspenseful.
It was,
It's not a horror. It was just suspenseful constantly. So you were just going, oh shit, the whole time. But
even getting into like, because you did see on a few occasions, you saw like the zombies attacking people and stuff that. And not eating people, but, you know, like infecting them and putting cordyceps into them and stuff like that. And I suppose apart from when the old couple next door, you saw him dying on the floor.
Yeah.
And covered in blood.
Yeah.
None of it was gory. So there was no shots of a load of zombies piling onto somebody, ripping their insides out and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was all done in a way so that you couldn't see what was going on. But that was scarier than a load of blood and guts.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't like about these, like, because, you know, just pure murder porn films.
Our nature is to be inquisitive and curious. So when we're constantly seeing but not quite seeing it all, we're going, well,
it's a bit
well,
of fear of the
happening?
Unknown. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And it's that, and it's like, I know I need to run away, but I'm trying to understand it at the
What's
same time.
On? It was such a good way of doing
it. Yeah,
and
it was brilliant.
I think they chose to do that way partly because they didn't want it to be a complete gore fest and they wanted to get it on HBO and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, HBO goes quite heavy with things. HBO was like True Blood
and
stuff like
Game
that.
Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So they could have gone that way.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was a really good choice, in my opinion, because it did add to the suspense. It made it a little bit more tense.
Yeah.
And again, you're imagining what's going on in your head rather than just, again, having blood and guts everywhere sort of thing. That whole thing with the plane coming down and them running away and all
fantastic.
That sort of stuff, just so tense all the way through.
Yeah.
And again, I knew what was coming and I was still on the edge of my seat all the way through.
You were still devastated.
When Sarah died. Yeah.
Devastated.
Yeah.
And the fact that, and I love the fact that it was a military man. And I know obviously that's the same way that it plays out, but like, you know, it's that whole thing of what's going to kill you, the monster or the fear.
Yes.
And I love that about it. And that's essentially what the whole series has been about.
Yeah.
It's been about what are you going to get killed by? Is it the monster or the fear?
Yeah, but hardly any, and again, you know, we're jumping ahead and stuff like that, but if you think about it, there was hardly any zombies in the movie.
No, I know.
In the series.
I know.
And again, it's a good choice.
And it was, you know, when Walking Dead was at its peak,
yeah,
it was the same kind of thing.
Yes.
It was, we know that the zombies are there and they constantly turn up and there's moments where there's a horde and that makes it more difficult to get past them and things like that. But a majority of the time, it was other factions. It was other people that were causing the drama.
Zombies weren't the big bad, really, for most
of it. And that was the kind of thing that I loved about it. And it's that whole thing. It's not about zombies. It's about surviving.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's what I like about these types of series.
This just took it a step further than Walking Dead without all the blood and guts.
Yeah.
And it's a better written.
Yeah,
feels much more expensive, much more premium content basically than The Walking Dead. Cast wise, so we got to introduce the majority of the cast in
Pedro Pascal, phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, he's used to doing this. He's just
everybody
done a whole
loves
series
him.
Of him carrying,
I'm
taking a kid somewhere. Yeah, in Mandalorian.
Yeah,
it's exactly the same.
Yeah,
that was clearly just an audition. Probably was a bit touch and go when he did Boba Fett. But
he even still carried her at one point as well.
He did carry her at one point as well. Yeah. He's brilliant, though, when you're Pedro Pascal.
Oh, yeah, he's amazing.
Absolutely nailed this.
Everything he's done recently, though, he's smashed, in my opinion.
But it's weird because he's not, like, particularly, like, he's not loud and
animated.
Brash and emotional. Yeah.
He's not.
He's just quiet.
Yeah.
But he's still...
However...
He's still... I mean, he has his moments.
The Nicolas Cage movie that he did.
Yes.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
But again, that just shows you a different side of him.
Yeah, it shows he can do that.
Yeah, 100%.
Because Mandalorian, he's quiet all the way through.
Yeah.
This is the same. He's really subdued all the way through.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Makes perfect sense.
And I love the way they take the piss out of it as well.
What, in this?
Yeah. Because when he's, you know, when he gets woken up and he's like, put the gun down.
Yeah.
And she's like, we're not going to hurt you. Like, be a bit more jovial about it. And he's like, please. It's just like, well, that doesn't help.
He plays it so well.
Like, it's so funny.
We got introduced to Bella Ramsey as well.
Yeah.
Who plays Ellie. What did you think of Bella Ramsey as Ellie?
So when it first started, I was like, oh, she's a bit feistier than I remembered her in the game.
Yeah, she definitely was, yeah.
But I was okay with it.
Yeah, it's a different take on the character, isn't it?
It is a different take.
Maybe a more realistic take?
Yeah, well, this is what I was going to say. If you think about it, this girl's been born into this.
Yeah.
You know, it's 20 years in, so with her only being kind of what, 13, 14.
Yeah.
So she's been born 6 years into this already being a shit show, basically.
Yeah, completely.
And it's that whole fight or flight thing, isn't it? And she's basically been born into a place where she's got to be taught that she's got to look after herself. It's got to be number one. You've got to protect yourself from whatever comes at you. And so that's what she's doing.
Yeah, she's going to be, she's just instantly hardened, isn't she?
Born
hardened.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's more realistic, just sounds like I'm really old here, but like, kids nowadays, that's what they're like. But it is.
No,
so
it is.
So you see, they're all like dead cocky and, do you know what I mean? And this
bit
is
of
just
an asshole.
Is just taking it to a different level.
Yeah.
They're not arsed. They will say what they think and stuff like that. They don't care about like all thought. Not kids in general. I mean,
end of the world, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. You'd completely lose all respect for that. And as good a character as Ellie was in the game, I suppose that's the slight bit of non-realism that she was so
Bella's just ramped
nice.
It up that little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, it fitted perfectly.
As soon as she said motherfucker, I was like, oh, that's where we're going with this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, it was quite...
Much darker, much
grittier. Yeah, yeah. But
much
again, I was okay with it.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, no, I was completely... Well, again, I wasn't 100% sold at first.
No.
But it only probably took me to the end of that first episode and I was like, okay, I'm on board with this now.
Yeah.
Another cast member we got was Tess.
Yes.
Who didn't last long.
No.
No. That's not spoilers. You've seen it by now. If you've not seen it by now, what are you doing listening to this episode?
Well, yeah.
Because we're talking about the whole series.
I love Tess.
You'll die in the end. Tess, played by Anna Torv. She was good.
She was.
I couldn't remember how she died.
No,
I
couldn't.
But I was still devastated when she died.
Yeah, me too.
Sort of like taking one for the team.
And, again, intense. You knew she was dying.
Yeah.
But then the lighter not lighting and all of, like, and the cordyceps going into her mouth.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, you knew what was coming, but you were still on the edge of your seat.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine for the people who had no idea what was coming, like how much they were like.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, but it was brilliant.
So you knew you'd lost Tess already. You're up to in the game. You've got past Tess.
Yeah. So And this is where we've got to bring this in, the clickers.
So we're on episode 2 now.
Sorry, yeah.
That's fine. That was a very natural progression to episode 2 when it was good. The whole, right, this was the episode where it was all about the zombies.
Yes.
The only episode where it was all about the zombies, but, and it was...
I didn't know, right, and I've got to say this, I didn't know whether they were going to make a comment about a daylight and nighttime. Because,
why?
You know, when you see, when they looked over and they said the straight path, this is why we don't go down that way.
Yeah.
And it was the horde in the road.
Yeah, all lying on
floor. Did you see that the sun was panning over? So it was like the sun was moving and the shadows were all moving. And as the sun was hitting them all, they became more active.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
So, and again, with it being a fungal thing and a plant, is it that reaction to the sunlight? Was that making them more aggressive?
I saw it more as... The way I read that anyway was that I saw it that they were all sort, because they were all like dormant, weren't they?
Well, I thought they were feeding.
No, I thought that they were all sort of like dormant because they were unneeded sort of thing. And the sunlight was kind of like you're burning them to a degree because they were in the direct sunlight and it wasn't comfortable.
Wakey, wakey.
No, but that's how I saw it.
Yeah.
But that whole thing, I can't remember it getting into that much detail in the game.
No, and that's what I was wondering, whether they were giving it a bit more detail.
Yeah, so the whole thing of, like, if you stand on a vine over here, it'll alert.
But I loved
the brain, and it'll send 100.
I thought it was fantastic that's how they explained
that. It was really, really clever.
Yeah.
And it added another level of peril.
Yeah.
Because it's not just like, we're all right here because there's no zombies here. It's like, we can't even stand on something because all the zombies
they might be here in 30 seconds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And again, it just added to the whole intensity.
And when the first one happened and it was a dead one, and everyone, like, again, your heart is in your mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think it was Pedro stepped on it, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
And it
just
kind of went to dust.
Yes.
But you still kind of went, do you know what I mean? You still had that moment.
Coming.
Oh, fuck. And I've got to admit, like, kudos to all of the extras in this, because the movements of anyone infected, and then the movements of the clickers and the way they did it was just fantastic.
The clicker. I've just Googled infected. That's not what I'm looking for. The Last of Us.
Oh, no.
The clickers were amazing.
They were.
They were scary.
They got the movements down to a fucking T on that. And that was just brilliant.
And do you know what? I was about to say I'm a little bit sad we didn't get more clickers, but I'm kind of happy we didn't, because it wasn't...
Don't oversaturate us with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact
it just
that we
needs
got
to
one
turn
episode,
up now and again in the worst fucking scenario.
It was scary because they were there.
Yeah.
Didn't, if we'd had clickers in every
And the
episode,
fact that we got two instead of one.
Did we not get... I thought we got three.
No, it was two, wasn't it?
Was it two? Okay.
Yeah.
But really, really good.
So,
really
so
well
good.
Done.
Yeah.
I was a little bit, not concerned, but I was a bit like, how are they going to translate that from to the screen? And it was seamless.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant and terrifying.
Oh,
at the
God,
same
yeah.
time. And then you go from this episode that's like really, really intense. Episode one was intense.
Yeah.
Episode two is even more intense because you've got this horde of zombies basically chasing them. You've got the clickers, you've got the whole tense situation around that room, trying not to let them hear you. And then we go to episode three.
Yeah.
Which is Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
Which is one of the most, I'll be careful how I say it now, not boring in a negative way, but you go from super intense horror to nothing action-wise happens.
Yeah.
But one of the best episodes of TV I've ever seen. Genuinely.
Yeah.
I got to the end of that episode and I just felt like I needed to go and have a cry. They gave me like a ton of bricks.
We know me. I did.
And
have
he
a
locked
couple
himself
of cries
in the bathroom,
through the episode. Yeah. Oh my God. I could not cope with that.
Did you expect it to be like that at any in that episode?
No, not at all.
Did you expect Nick Offerman to play that?
No, not in a million years. And do you know what? I fucking commend him for it.
He was
big time.
So good.
He was fantastic. Absolutely amazing.
Because I knew he was going to be in the series in general, and I knew he was going to play Bill, and I could only remember bits of Bill. From
and
the
thing
game.
Is, like, I was like, Nick Offerman, grumpy old bastard. Perfect.
Yeah, but
and
I
that's
still,
what I was thinking.
I didn't feel like he was going to be particularly good at the same time because he's comedy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, a little bit of me was like,
but I thought,
what are they doing
with
Nick Offerman?
I thought he was going to be comedy without it being comedic.
No, I get that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So because he's grumpy and sarcastic
very dry
and
comedy.
Stuff, I just thought he was just going to be shitty with everyone all the time, but you kind of loved it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was an endearing quality type of thing.
Yeah.
But obviously, because they tweaked the whole storyline and stuff, we don't really get that. We just get this. I mean, we got it because obviously we had the flashback to when they had the tea outside in the garden with both Tess and Joel.
Joel, yeah.
And brilliant, by the way. He sat there literally with the gun pointing at Joel while they're having fucking finger sandwiches. Like, it was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
But it wasn't comedic, if you get what I mean. And that's what I loved
dry.
About it.
Really, 100%. Really, yeah.
And like, him really seeing his ass about them going inside the house and all of that kind of stuff.
And he just didn't trust Joel.
No.
Right up till his death, he still didn't trust Joel.
The writing was perfect.
Yeah.
That letter was perfect.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought the whole thing was brilliant. And I get, like, not to take away at all, the whole relationship between Bill and Frank.
It was
amazing.
Really, really well.
Incredible.
Done. So good.
And that line where he said, you know, he said something along the lines of, I was surviving and you made me realize what it was to live. And that, like, properly just pulled the heartstrings.
So
I was, and then when he said, I'm going to die today, but first we're going to get married, I'm welling up now just thinking about it. Like, it fucking killed me. Like, I was just so heartbroken but loving it at the same time.
Yeah.
Looking at the painting that Frank was doing at the side.
Yeah.
And you could just see the deterioration in the painting and stuff like that. Like, it was just all, like, even the stuff that wasn't said was beautifully said. Does that make sense?
No, I know what you mean, yeah.
Like, there was,
it was a quiet, it was a quiet episode.
The whole show's been like that. It's like, it told the story without having to tell. Like, without actually, like, speaking and stuff like that.
You
know, just skipping back to the first episode for 2 seconds, the fact that you got the whole breakdown of where you get bit on the body, how long that takes for it to infect you and stuff like that, you're getting all of this information at once without it having to slowly explain everything.
10 seconds from a post.
It's just, the whole thing was so well structured that you got what you needed from it at a fast pace, so you could just crack on with the story.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved about it.
And now, again, this episode in particular, because you've only got two characters, you're not going to have constant dialogue explaining it. And there were so many moments in it when it was just quiet. They were just sitting silent, basically, loads of different moments, but it still conveyed exactly what the messages you were supposed to be getting from it. The strawberries,
such a good scene, that.
Yeah.
And Nick Offerman's giggle. And that made me fucking howl in itself.
I still just can't believe it was Nick Offerman playing that role. So
all
nice.
I think about is the scene from Parks and Rec when he's in the aisle and he's like, I'd like some of your fake bacon. And then he throws it straight in the bin. Yeah. That was great. May I have another?
It's just such a contrast from everything you've ever seen Nick Offerman play.
It's so funny.
Like, ever. It was just so, so good. And I think that's one of the reasons why it was so good, because it was such a shock.
Yeah.
I just didn't expect this character from Nick Offerman. And when you could see the whole relationship starting.
Yeah.
And in my head, I was like, is this where they're going with this relationship with these two? Surely not. And then it did. And I was like, this is just brilliant. It's just so
perfect.
Well done. And as I said, to get from, what, a 40-minute episode?
Yeah.
So you got a 40-minute episode.
No, this one was, it was the longest episode that they'd done.
An hour then?
Yeah.
So you got an hour episode then, and you've got these two characters who we've not met before in this series.
Yeah.
To get, by the end of that episode, where you're absolutely devastated when they're dying.
You've literally lived that entire relationship in that one hour.
Completely emotionally attached to these characters. After an hour, shows that they acted their asses off.
Yeah.
And I felt drained
after
it. In a nice way. I felt like it was a lovely episode. And I said, one of the best episodes of TV I've seen in a while. But at the same time, I felt drained.
Yeah.
I needed a pint.
I was sobbing my heart out as it looked out the window after Joel and Ellie had driven off. Like, it was just so, so clever.
Really, really well
beautifully
done.
Written.
Yeah.
Beautifully acted. For me, there is not one negative thing that I could say about it.
That episode? No, I can't.
No, obviously there was backlash off it as well.
Did I miss this? I don't know. Did I just forget it?
It was just the whole, I didn't tune into a zombie show to watch some gay ass people. And that, I mean,
grow
for
up.
Me, I was just like, fuck off. Best bit of TV I've ever seen in my life.
That must have been a very, very small minority of knobheads.
It was
the usual.
Like Southern Americans, one is basically. Probably.
Not all Southern Americans. 20 of our Southern American listeners.
Hey, listen, there's drag queens from Texas. I know that it's not all of them, but
it's just the odd knobhead who's offended by everything.
Yeah, there's just a lot of people out there still that just... Oh, well. Feel that it takes away from the story. And
it
actually,
wasn't made for you.
I think,
don't watch it.
Exactly.
There you go.
It move added on. To the story for me, and I just move, thought it was phenomenal.
On, watch something else. Moving on to episode 4 then. Again, completely back to what we'd had.
Yeah.
So this was the Fedra episode with Melanie Lynskey.
Yes.
And the kids, Henry and Sam.
Yes.
This was dark as well. This was very upsetting. So this was the one where they went to the city. And Melanie Lynskey was running the city because
Rid of Fedra. But we don't meet Henry and Sam till the end of the episode, do we?
Oh, that's the next episode, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Because this episode it's the journey first. So it's the so they leave and she finds Bill's porno mag in the back of the truck.
Yeah, she does.
Which made me absolutely howl. She's like, the pages stuck together. And he's like, throw that away. And she's like, just kidding. Like, again, it's just that. And this was the real kind of conversations about that book as well. You know, the puns, the dad jokes.
Oh, yeah, the book puns, yeah.
And they camp out in the forest and stuff like that so that they're off the road. And then, obviously, they go to... they go into the city because the tunnel's blocked.
Yeah.
And then this is where they get ambushed.
And it's them hiding from Melanie Lynskey and
So they're working
army,
for
army basically.
Yeah, yeah. They're working for them because they've obviously just overthrown Fedra in that QZ. Again, brilliant. That whole thing, the suspense on it again, and the fact that we see Ellie actually get violent because. She has to shoot that lad in the back.
She does.
And then he starts calling for his mum, and her reaction to that is just amazing.
My reaction to that was just shoot him.
Yeah, my reaction was just shoot him. Yeah. And I mean, Joel did in the end.
Yeah, exactly,
He stabbed him in the head, I think.
Yeah, I think he did, yeah.
But this was probably the weakest episode, thinking about it.
But only because it was the first part of a story.
It's the thing that really, really fucks me off.
What is?
And it's... I know why they do it, but it just angers me because it happens later on as well. It's like, you've come and attacked these people on their own.
Yeah, yeah.
These people kill one of your men and you're like, you're the knobhead for killing one of our people. Hang on.
But that's like every zombie show I've ever seen.
I know.
Ever.
I know, but it just never fails to really wind me up because it happens outside the hospital later as well.
Yes, it does. And see, I still can't wrap my head around that.
No.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
We'll get to that when we get to that.
Yeah.
That's the one I can get right. I can wrap my head around this. They're not right.
Because he was a young lad. Well, I can wrap my head around it.
I just feel like that I can... I kind of get... with. So
well, they were mistaken. They thought that they'd been ambushed.
Yes.
Because they thought it was somebody working for Henry and
Sam. And
that's
why I can wrap my head around it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas I can't wrap my head around the one with the hospital, but we'll get to it in a bit. It wasn't a bad episode.
No.
But again, it was only the weakest just because every episode seemed like its own little story.
Yes.
Which I was good with. And I know I've slagged off things in the past like Andor, which was like every three episodes its own story. But this had enough of a continuation going through that it worked.
Yeah.
And because...
You could see where the story was going.
Exactly,
That's the difference.
It was one story with loads of little stories going through.
Yeah, yeah. Rather than, it's not like you got to the end and went, well, what was the fucking point of
rather
that?
Rather than a movie and a movie and shoving them together. But this, I think because this was the one where nothing really happened, it was just a build up to a two-episode arc. Yeah. That's why it was the weakest. But again, I mean, this was still a fantastic episode.
Oh, God, yeah.
Again, really dark, really
and again,
brutal.
Even
Melanie Lynskey's character was terrifying.
She was terrifying.
Even though she's not scary.
That whole scene with her and the doctor.
Yeah.
And the way she just walked, she didn't even give him a second when she walked back afterwards.
Oh, and he's like,
and
I delivered
you. She said,
there's
no way you can save him.
I delivered you.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, yeah, bang.
Yeah, trial.
You're dead. Not asked.
Laters.
And you got her logic.
Yeah, yeah.
The more you sort of go through it and you get into the next episode as well. I mean, we might as well wrap them up into one.
Well, I was going to say, well, even with that, again, you know, you had the suspense coming up and down all the way through that. And then the episode ended with them waking up and you've got Henry and Sam over them with the guns.
And you just know straight away that these.
When he just looks up and there's a kid with a gun in his face, that's terrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
Because kids, you know, for someone of that age, dead's not forever. There's no concept of that yet.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? So it's one thing to be, you know, an adult doing that. It's because there's something he wants.
Yeah.
So you can always negotiate. With a kid, it's like that kid just could just pull the trigger, done.
Yeah. And he doesn't really get, doesn't really grasp the reality of it.
And the consequence. Yeah. So when that's how it ended, I was like, oh God, like that's insane.
And I like the way in that episode, again, leading into the next one, you see where Henry and Sam have been.
Like, yes.
You see that loft with all the pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get emotional about it anyway because you know it's a kid.
Yeah.
And you see like the fact that they've had all these tins of beans or not that many of them and they've run out of it. And there's a kid up there potentially starving.
Yeah.
And then they make you see it.
Yeah.
In the next episode. Yeah. And it's no better.
No.
He's still like, this kid's starving and he's terrified.
Yeah.
And obviously they've done something wrong.
Yeah.
But they have and they haven't.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, I suppose he's a rat at the end of the day, isn't he, Henry?
Yeah.
But then you've got to sit there and you've got to ask yourself, Sam to him is like his kid. I know he's his brother, but he's like his kid. And it's like, what wouldn't you do to protect your kid?
And this is it's that survival thing.
Exactly.
And it's what's going to kill you, the monster or the fear?
Exactly.
And for these guys, they became the monsters because he was fearful that his brother was going to die because it was all about the drugs, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They needed the drugs to save him and they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Essentially, because and it's that whole thing of what can make you look like a monster to one person is actually the most selfless thing you can do for another.
Yeah.
And that, like, again, I love that because there's no real villain there.
No, I know. Melanie Linsky's made out to be the villain, but you can completely wrap your head around her.
You can to a degree. You can tell the power's gone to her head.
Yeah.
100%.
Oh, she's just distraught. She's just in mourning and she's not got past the grieving process.
No.
And she's at the end of the day, she's lost her brother.
So she's just like anyone else that's caused.
It's like she wants closure and the only way she can get closure is to kill Henry.
Yeah,
and
that's her brother's killer.
That's it.
Yeah, that's,
and even though he didn't specifically do it, it's like she's gone through and that's why she's taken over Fedra. That's why she's killed all the Fedra agents.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, right, I need to get everybody, but then where does it stop?
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's like if she'd killed Henry, would there then be somebody else who Henry had worked with who she needed to kill?
We also got a hint in this episode as well, just before the end.
What?
About the moving floor.
We did.
Did we
see that again later on?
So it was a room. I am in a building and they were like, you need to look at this.
Episode four, we were still on.
And that, And that
she
floor started and she's like, just close it. Yeah, we just walk away from it. Don't tell anybody. We don't want to scare them unnecessarily. Blah, blah, blah. And then obviously we get to the next episode where Joel and Ellie make the agreement with Henry and Sam that they'll get them out of the city because it benefits both of them.
Yeah. And they go through the tunnels. Which is tense as hell because you're just waiting for something to pop out.
Yeah, and nothing happens. But I loved that about it. I was like,
so did I.
The fact that was all built up for nothing.
But it wasn't all built up for nothing.
No, it was all built up
for the part where they got to like the kids' creche type.
Yeah.
And you got to see Ellie go from hardened 27-year-old, 14-year-old to 10.
Yeah.
And she sat there with Sam.
Did you get Stranger Things 11 vibes in that room, by the way?
A little bit. But it was, again, you've seen how hardened she is, calling people motherfucker, killing people. She's that tough. And again, because that's all she's ever known.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you put her in that environment with another kid, she just turns back into it.
Football and all that.
It's just become kids.
The cutest thing.
She just reverted back to a child.
Yeah.
And then snap, back to reality, and it's just all kicking off again.
Yeah.
That you think they've got away.
So they're literally on the road out of town. It's and like the last fucking mile.
Exactly.
And then the sniper picks them up.
Tits up.
And then suddenly you see that fucking car with the plough machine. Yeah. Like, I was just...
Yeah. And I've never been happier to see the zombies.
Again, my heart was in my throat. My heart was in my throat with it. And the way she was just calling them out to say, come on, this is the end of the road.
Yeah.
And then... obviously, the car had exploded the house.
Yes, it did. Didn't it?
Because of Joel and his sniper shot and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then that has obviously woken something up underneath. The floor starts moving, crumbles away, and we get the bloater.
The bloater was so good.
Which was amazing.
Yeah.
And it was amazing because it was not CGI.
It wasn't CGI. We hardly saw it.
Yeah.
It was dark.
Yeah.
It wasn't glaringly obvious.
No.
And we didn't see one again.
No.
That was it. That's all we need.
That's what I love about it.
You need a clicker and a bloater, and that's it. Yeah. The rest of the story, you don't need to throw in all the CGI monsters to carry this show.
No, not at all.
It's terrifying and tense all the way through. Yeah. And it's just using everything sparingly. Because if they'd used them all to death, you're going to get to season two, and they're either going to throw the same monsters in, and you're going to go, It's like how easy in The Walking Dead by series three with the killing walkers. Do you know what I mean?
Wasn't
a problem unless there were 50 of them.
Yeah.
And then the only other alternative is to start getting really weird, stupid, fantastical creatures in there that are even bigger and scarier. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it was just a perfect way of doing it. You got Melanie Linsky's character getting killed by the bloater. And again, because she just... Wasn't it a bloater?
No. Nope.
Was it a
clicker? I actually really loved this about it.
It was a zombie.
So... Ellie gets in the car.
Yeah.
And the little girl in the Blues Clues jumper.
Yeah. Did she have a Blues Clues jumper on?
She had a Blues Clues jumper on because they wanted, again, you know, they're not using blood and gore and stuff like that.
But it's still scary.
I mean, there's still gore in it because obviously the guy had his head ripped off, the one that was shooting at the bloater.
He did,
The bloater killed him. But the little girl, it was the whole innocence thing.
It's the fact that it's a little girl. Yeah.
And this girl,
can I also point out,
I read up on this as well. So the little girl actually also did all of those movements herself.
Did she? That's amazing.
There was no like messing about with that. She just did gymnastics and she was like twisting her body and stuff for real like that to make it as creepy as possible. And it was brilliant. But it ends up being that little girl that jumps on her and kills her, which I love. Because the whole two episodes has been about her chasing up and saying some kids have to die. And then she gets killed by a kid. And I was just perfect karma there.
Yeah. It's scary, but it's sad at the same time. You get this feeling of...
It's also incredibly fucking clever. Like, everything is purposeful. There's nothing in there for the sake of being in there.
Wasn't just like, let the little girls on together.
Yeah. That's what I love about this. You know, nothing's just being thrown in. Like, it's all being carefully thought about. And I just hope that follows through into series two and three.
Oh, I think it will do.
I mean, I hope so.
The end of that episode.
Yeah.
Sam.
So.
Sam's been bit.
Yeah.
Ellie thinks she's got like magic blood.
So she cuts herself and rubs it into his arm.
Yeah. And then the next morning she wakes up. And he's just sat on the end of the bed.
Oh, honestly, like, again, your heart's in your mouth because you're like, is he okay? Is he not?
See, but I knew, and it still got me.
See, so
There's changes because he's not deaf in the game.
Right, okay.
So that was a whole different dynamic that they added, which was fantastic.
So good. And again, like, just to point this out because we didn't talk about this. So that night when they're sat on the edge of the bed, and he's like, are you ever scared?
Always.
And she just wrote always, and I was just like, oh my god, like, fair play.
As hard as she is, she's always terrified.
And again, she's opening up to the kid, because she's like, looks are deceiving kind of thing. You've got to know that we're all always scared and things like that. And I just thought that was such a powerful scene in general.
That was brilliant.
It just hurt that little bit more the next morning.
Yeah.
And then it was just...
How quick did it all happen?
Yeah. Like, that's it unfolded so fucking quick.
Yeah.
And I hadn't got over the shock of Sam being shot before Henry then turned the gun on himself.
But it was again, the fact... I suppose you could sit there when you're writing that scene then.
Yeah.
Of the whole, kill Sam, shoot yourself, Henry.
Yeah, yeah.
That... You could very easily think, well, do you know what? We need to make this out to be a big dramatic thing. We need a monologue and all that sort of stuff. We need a bit more of a stalemate between Henry and Joel as like who's going to kill who and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was seconds.
He literally just went, what did I do? And he pointed the gun at
himself. But how quickly did he shoot Sam? There was no thinking about it.
I don't think you can.
No, but you'd think that your standard trope from that sort of series is there's a don't kill my brother, I'll kill you, and all that.
And then
sort
you
of
see
stuff.
Them sweating for 5 minutes before they actually do anything.
There was none of that. It just happened. Yeah. And then again, the suicide, it just happened.
But I feel like that'd be more realistic, though.
I do, but I feel like it was also a very conscious decision to do that. It wasn't just a case of let's wrap this up quickly. It was a conscious decision. And the fact that it was so quick and so brutal without any thought made it even tougher to watch.
Yeah.
And it made it not necessarily more realistic.
And Ellie's reaction, man.
I know. It was so intense.
Everyone was just it on was their
raw.
Fucking game
it was
in this.
Really, really yeah, raw. Yeah. That's yeah. what it was. Because it was real. Yeah. Not that obviously, hopefully, would ever any of us have been in that situation, but it just felt really raw. How quick it was and how quick it happened. And again, just again, heavy, felt mentally and physically drained at the end of the episode. The next episode...
I'm glad, to be honest, I'm glad I didn't binge this all in one go. I'm glad that I've watched it week by week.
Exhausted. Mate, trying to binge this.
I wouldn't have been able to breathe by the end of it.
Nah, far too heavy. So the next episode was... I can't even really remember what happened in the next episode. It was Kin. So it was when they find Tommy.
So this is where it jumps. So it jumps.
We did a time
3
jump.
Months, didn't it? Yes. 3 months?
Yeah, I want to say.
I think it was.
Yeah.
So it starts off in the... So they've reached this little cottage on the riverside, haven't they?
Yes. With the old couple.
Yeah.
Yeah,
who
with the old couple.
Were brilliant.
They were amazing.
They were in one scene, and I still remember them because they were hilarious.
Yeah.
That wife, so funny. Mm. And she did... I think most of her lines
passed
were...
it, not asked. Yeah.
Like, her lines were just, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And it was so funny. Like, it I just thought the whole thing was brilliant. And the way that...
This was a short episode, though, wasn't it?
Yes.
Not much did happen.
It was
the link.
It was reuniting Joel with Tommy.
So they got to the... Basically, the old couple were saying that there was bad people on the other side of the...
So we've already river. Got that suspense being built now because we think there's fucking horrible people the other side of this river and they've got to go that way.
Yeah.
So again, you're already kind of like... And then you see that it's this old little old shanty town that they've just put together.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like very different. The whole dog scene, I forgot about that as well.
Oh, yeah.
So they turn up, don't they? They find them. And then they were like, the dog can
the
smell.
Dog. Yeah, infected.
The infected.
Yeah, on edge.
Oh, my God. I was like, this is just, we're going to shit
But
here.
Not what I expected.
No.
I was waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
But definitely waiting for something, yeah.
And then when she's just sitting there and the dog's licking her when they turn around and stuff and she's like giggling, I was like...
It was very clever as well because you did at no point really did you focus on Ellie and the dog. It was all Joel.
Yeah.
And that, because this episode was about him sort of giving up on Ellie and finding an out for Ellie and kind of being exhausted and can't go anymore because it was upset with himself because when that was happening, he didn't just shoot everybody and attack. He was quite, not happy, but he felt so tired with the whole process that he's like, if this happens,
he has this conversation with Tommy.
Yeah.
And he says,
he's past
it. Hesitated.
Exactly.
I've never hesitated in my life and now I'm hesitating.
Yeah.
And I'm worried that it's going to kill her.
Yeah.
And
it's his growth.
It was
his recharge.
Yeah, it was kind of like a beautiful thing, though, that he's letting her go to protect her, which is another version. Like, all we've seen so far is him aggressively trying to protect her where he can.
Yeah.
Because she's cargo. And now at this point, he's going, I give a shit. Like, I need to let her go so that I can protect her.
Yeah.
Because I'm failing. And the next time, it could actually get her killed.
Yeah.
And I just, again, loved it. And it all started because she shot that kid in the back. That was the first thing that he said.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because he'd hesitated.
Yes, it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
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 So, you know, it's all of that kind of... Like, I just think it's so clever.
And was this, at the end of this episode... Obviously, we found more about Tommy. We found out he's got a partner now. He's having a baby and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But at the end of this episode, is that when they go to the hospital?
So... They leave to go to the hospital, yeah. So she gets the iconic jacket, doesn't she, in this episode as well?
Yeah.
The Ellie jacket.
But does he get stabbed at the end of this episode?
No. Next one.
Is it?
I think so. Because don't they finish this episode with...
going off on the horse?
Yeah. They do the little shooting in the range, like... He's teaching her how to shoot, and then they get on the horse and they go.
Yeah, they do.
And then it finished.
Yeah.
And then it The next episode.
The next episode is the flashback episode and them going to the hospital.
Yes.
So what did you think of the flashback episode?
I really liked it.
I did. No, it gave you a back, so the back, I feel like, backstory. Yeah.
I feel like some people weren't as on board with this one.
No.
As others, it seemed to get a little bit more of a mixed reaction.
I think it was because we were... I think this is the first episode where... Not the first episode. The story had been going really, really fast and really progressing all the way through.
Yeah.
The last episode, it was a very slow progress because it was just them meeting with Tommy.
And then we were getting a flashback.
And now we were in flashback. Yeah, and it felt like after episode 7, it was like, we've kind of had two episodes now where not really much has happened. Yeah. And I think for people who didn't know what was going on, it was like, I don't know what's happening.
We've mixed them up.
No, we haven't.
We have, because the flashback is after he's been stabbed.
That's what I said it was. He got stabbed at the end of episode 6, because episode 7 is left behind.
But he doesn't get stabbed till they've been to the hospital, and they found out that there's no one there.
Yeah, I think that was at the end of episode 6.
So did we have the whole journey to the hospital in the same episode?
It wasn't a very long journey.
No, but there was the whole exploration of it all, and...
Was that all the last five minutes?
Yeah,
I think it was, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think so.
The monkeys.
I mean, they all blend into one, don't they?
I love that there was just random monkeys.
But I think the thing is, over those two episodes, whether he got stabbed before the flashback or after the flashback, over those two episodes, as somebody who's not seen the show before...
So can I point out, because I hadn't seen the show, and obviously I know that there's been
Did you think it was slow?
No. Again, my heart was in my throat because he got stabbed.
Oh, yeah.
So for me, like... And this is where
maybe
we approached that thing
seven.
Where we were fucking fuming.
What thing? Oh, the guys at the hospital.
He came up with a bat to attack them.
Exactly.
And then they all kick off because he got killed.
That's what doesn't make sense.
No. And again, it's that whole thing again of you've come being aggressive. If he kills one of yours, you should go, fucking hell, fair play, we'll try someone else.
Yeah. No, exactly.
I don't get it.
What I meant was, I think the reason that people got... that it wasn't necessarily as loved, isn't down to the flashback, because we'll talk about the flashback. I think it's down to the fact that if you've not seen it, you feel like you've gone two episodes with not really much happening.
Yeah.
And if you know, but if you have played the game, we've had two episodes without much happening, and you know how much now has to happen in episodes 8 and 9.
And you're
like, I was sat there going, how the hell are they cramming all this into episodes 8 and 9?
Yeah.
Because we've had two episodes of nothing.
Yeah.
And now I know there's lots to fit in.
Yeah.
And I think it wasn't necessarily annoying, but it was a bit like panicky.
Yeah.
A bit like, where are we going with this?
Yeah.
But the actual flashback itself, again, you play that through in the game.
Yeah.
And I liked it because it was getting to know Ellie a little bit, because you've only known it, and I know obviously it's still within.
So was the flashback in the game at all, or is this totally added?
No, you play the flashback in the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that whole relationship with her and the other girl is all still in that?
Yeah.
Okay, because I wasn't sure on that part.
Yeah, Riley.
But that whole thing in the mall again, and like her being shown how escalators work, and like it was just... again, you just got that innocence.
It was good. I just don't know what the intent of it was. I think if the intent was to show the innocence,
I think it was to show the innocence. But it'd also been said to us that Ellie had turned around and said, "It's not the first time I've had to kill someone."
Yeah.
Well, after she shot that lad,
because she killed, she's had to kill
Riley.
Then
nothing was really said after that. So this
weird choice to not show it.
Yeah, but it didn't need to.
No, I know it didn't need to, but I suppose when you think that this is the thing that's created Ellie,
it's quite a
bold choice.
But then I like that we haven't seen the actual event, and I think it might flash back to that at another point. You know, you might get that.
Is it just trying to do the same thing with the zombies? It's like you're left to your own imagination as to how that panned out, because they don't want to go super gory and stuff like that.
Not even that. Sometimes I think that when you do a scene like that, you're always going to piss people off.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
And this is...
Do any scene, you're always going to piss someone off.
Well, I don't want to use the term cop-out because I actually think it's a good way to do it. I don't think it's a cop-out, but it's a way to satisfy everybody.
Yeah.
Because you're not actually showing it and it is left to the imagination.
Yeah.
But you get the same story across. Does that make sense?
You still get the message, yeah.
So, but I just love the fact that this Ellie that we've known from day one in our bit, you could already see the elements of it in her backstory.
Yeah, definitely.
But this was a massive turning point where she's just gone, everyone left me.
Yeah, yeah. This, it shows why she's got the attitude to the world that she's got to the world, basically.
And I really like that because I think it was just a good bit of filler to give us
and
a bit.
And you realise that it takes you right up to the moment we met her as well. A week before we met her. So again, it's the creation of the character, isn't it? Episode 8 was the darkest one.
Yeah.
This was heavy for a completely different reason. I'd probably argue 27
different reasons.
This was better than the finale.
There was backlash off this episode as well.
In what way?
Which we'll go through that. It and then I'll tell you at the end. Okay. So obviously this one is...
This is Ellie. This is the Ellie show.
This is the Ellie episode.
Which again, you play in the game.
The Ellie-sode.
Yeah, you do. You play it in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't know Joel's... You don't know Joel's alive until you get to the end of the level.
Yeah.
I think in the game.
Yeah, loads of other people have said that to me since. So, I mean, again, obviously Last of Us 2, I knew, but... I was kind of like, how the hell did... Because the one thing that did annoy me, and I've got to point this out, because continuity.
Okay.
When he got stabbed and he collapsed.
Yeah.
He was in the snow, by some train tracks, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
How'd she get him to the house?
No idea. On the horse?
He's 72 times bigger than she is.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. How did she get him on the horse?
How the fucking hell did she do any of that?
Don't know.
And then get him down to a basement in a house?
Don't know.
Dunk, dunk, dunk on his head on the stairs.
I don't know. But it is a show about zombies made out of mushrooms.
It's my only thing. I was just like, how did we get
You need
from
a little bit of creative license.
Yeah.
So leave him with it.
I'll allow it. But yeah, so obviously she finds out that they're getting a lot closer now. The guys have come back. They killed one of his men.
Yes.
They're all coming back. We seem to... be dealing with a religious man who's saying
it's a cult,
it's God's plan, blah blah blah, go get your revenge.
But again, it's done so well because
we don't want to kill the girl.
It's done so well because, well, I mean, that's seedy, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, yeah.
It's done well because even though you can tell straight away there's something off about it, but it just feels like they're just a little bit Amish. Does that make sense?
And they're
probably not treating the zombie apocalypse in the way they should be treating it. And then he starts like smacking people and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And you're like, oh, this is really, really dark. He's a psychopath. After having come across as so nice to Ellie.
Yeah.
But you can read when he's nice to Ellie that there's something not.
Yeah.
There's something not quite right about it. Yeah. And it gets rough for a number of reasons.
It does.
They're eating people.
Yeah, so cannibal cult.
Yeah.
They don't know they're eating people, though.
Only some of them.
Yeah, only like...
I get the chefs.
Top tier people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
In the know.
Exactly.
But the whole thing for me was just terrifying. Now, again, the only thing, I feel like this was too fast.
The episode?
Yeah. The events of what took place, I just feel was like...
No, I like the intensity.
They were gone as quick as they were there. Do you know what I mean?
No, but I like the intensity. I think after two episodes of it being quite slow and very story-driven, this again was story-driven. And again, it was the progress of Ellie as a character. Yeah. It was the hardening up of Ellie as a character.
Yeah, yeah.
It was also the bonding of Joel and Ellie, which was at the end of the episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I feel, again, you needed to create a little bit of intensity after two slower episodes.
Yeah.
And this was the one, again, it was gory. It was the one where it was like, right, we've done 6-7 episodes now of holding back, but leaving things to your imagination, being a bit more darker about things,
being
a bit cleverer about it. And now we've got you into a kind of a false sense of security that you know what this show is.
Yeah.
Now we're going to throw everything at you.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And that's why it was heavy. If we'd had 7 episodes of that gore, it would have just been like, oh, another one of these. It threw the nastiest bits at you. In a half an hour.
Yeah.
And it was great.
So that scene in the cell when she bites his finger.
Yes.
So that's in the game.
Oh, I can't remember that.
So that clip is in the game.
Okay.
Now, people have done TikToks where they've put some of them side to side.
Okay.
Phenomenal. Because they are literally, they've taken it from the game.
I didn't know.
I thought, you know what, fair play. I mean, the camera angles and stuff weren't perfect or anything like that. But it was as close as you're going to get. And it was so clever. All the lines are exactly the same.
Yeah.
All of that kind of stuff. Like, it was just brilliantly done, and I just think it's a good nod to the game that you the bits that they did do and kind of create are kept in for the TV series, because they did it when at the very beginning when they looked out onto the city ruins.
Yes,
and she was like, "Wow, look at that!" And it, like, it was that whole scene was again shot for shot. And that's what this was as
and
well.
And talking about paying respect to the game, James, the guy who gets it in the neck with the meat cleaver.
Yeah.
That's Troy Baker, who does the voice of Joel in the game.
Yes.
Yeah. So again, you're starting to get that sort of like payoff as well. But yeah, it was, again, it was just so intense.
It was very really intense. It. And it was just like, so, I mean, Ellie fighting back.
Yes.
You know, she bit his finger. She chopped the guy in the neck.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, you've got Joel coming round.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you've got the two guys that have gone to go and find him. Yeah. Well, there's four, I think, actually.
Yeah.
And he manages to get two of them, tie them up, and then start interrogating them.
Yeah.
Stabs them in the thigh.
Oh, no, in the kneecap.
Oh, it was the kneecap,
wasn't
it? And
pries the kneecap back.
And he starts,
But
again, that was intense.
And that's the, it shows the transition of Joel.
Hesitating. Yeah.
Because not that he didn't care, but the hesitation with the dog is what made him care.
Yeah.
And now he like he's fallen in love with this kid.
Yeah.
And it's like, I will do anything. Yeah. I will kill who I need to kill to get this kid back. And he'll do anything for her. Yeah. And it's that mission.
And then it
them.
Was the bit with the second guy and he goes, it's all right, I know he wasn't lying.
Exactly.
And then just stabs him in the head. And I was like, fucking get in.
Amazing.
This is brilliant.
Brutal, but brilliant.
And so then Joel is obviously heading to the place where he's been pointed to on the map. And meanwhile, Ellie is now trying to get away from, what's his name?
David.
Yeah.
In the kitchen restaurant type thing.
That's
in the game. That's brilliant in the
is
game.
It?
That. Yeah, it's really
So
good.
She then sets the place on fire because she throws the fire stick at him and all that kind of stuff.
I died over 28 times doing that in the game.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
You only got no chance.
No chance. But that it's that moment that he holds her down.
Yeah, yeah.
My God, like, I felt physically sick watching that.
Even though you kind of knew that's not where... You knew this show's not going to let that happen.
Oh, God, yeah.
But you still felt sick.
You know that that intent is there.
I know.
And that, and it, like, he was shushing her and being like, sick. Baby girl, don't fight, or something like that. And it was like, it was horrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrible.
How did she kill him? Stab him in the leg.
She kills him. Oh, she did something that made him fall onto his back, and then she just pulverized his head.
Yeah.
And I mean, she stabbed him. She just did not stop. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Remember now. Yeah.
And she just kept going and kept going and kept going and screaming and And then when she ran outside, her acting in this moment, again, I was on the verge of tears.
Yeah.
Because it was that initial shock of what's just happened. She's done the fight or flight. Yeah. She's fought. She's managed to get away.
Yeah.
And
then the disbelief that Joel's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the pure, like...
Because she's fighting him to get away because she just thinks it's somebody else from the town. And she's in fight mode.
Yeah.
And when she realises it's him and her body essentially just collapses on itself. And then
because
he's like...
Because she can shut down now.
And he's just like, I've got you. I've got you, baby
got
girl.
You, baby
worry.
Girl. And
oh,
that's
my God.
That was it. That's done. Like, right, this he.
And
this is his daughter
it's,
now.
But it's that complete contrast to what's just happened in the restaurant as well. Like, it just...
You've gone from just hypertension to calm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane, but phenomenal.
Perfectly done.
Yeah.
Perfectly done. And then we had the finale.
Yeah.
Look for the light.
Yeah.
This was a short episode.
Yeah.
Really weirdly.
So they decided at this point to go back to Tommy, didn't they? Was that right?
Yeah.
Is
maybe.
It, was that the plan that's where they were going back to?
I think that was the plan, yeah.
Because they...
Is it?
Oh, no. It is.
Maybe. I don't know. Did they go back to Tommy?
So I think that was going to be... Because the hospital where they thought they were going to be is not...
Yeah.
It's not a thing. So they were like, we need to... kind of gather what we're going to do next. Like, we don't know where to go because where we're supposed to go for the fireflies wasn't right, blah blah blah. And then as they're heading to back that way.
They get picked up by the Fireflies.
They get picked up by the Fireflies. Yes. They get found by the Fireflies. Yeah. They both get knocked out because they're going through another QZ, aren't they?
Yes.
Or they're
one of the original QZs.
Yeah. And then it's essentially just you just see the people in the background, then suddenly a smoke grenade. Yeah,
goes off,
gets and then thrown at them. Yeah,
and then that's when you find out the plan that the Fireflies have had the whole
all
time.
Along, yeah.
So Ellie, because we get the flashback at the start. We see Ellie being born at the start of the episode.
Oh yeah, which was brilliant, by the way.
Yeah, by Ashley Johnson, who's her mum, who is Ellie from the game.
Is it
that's
okay?
Ellie from the game, yeah.
But how much do they look alike, please?
I know.
That was scary.
But to be honest, I was looking at Ashley Johnson.
Because I was watching
and
I was
like,
going, are they related in real life?
Yeah, but I was also looking and I was like, she could have well pulled off like 16. I feel like they could have got away with it. But then yes, I saw her like later on in like interviews and stuff like that. And it's like, no, I think it was just because it was so dark.
Yeah.
But you got Ashley Johnson. You saw the whole birth. You saw Marlene, the fact that she takes her and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Ellie's mum lying because she's like, I cut the cord before I was bit and all that sort of stuff. And you fully well know.
What's really funny, right, was I went with that, even though I just watched it happen the other way.
Oh, did you?
And I was like, and then about 5 minutes after that, I went, she's a fucking liar. And I don't know why it didn't register in my head straight, because it was clear that she lied.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And for some reason, I was just going with it. And I was just like, hang on a minute.
It explained the immunity.
Yes.
So basically, she's had it in her the entire time, basically.
Yeah.
But it's like a dead, dormant version of
it.
But every time that when she gets bitten, the cordyceps go in.
Yeah.
And they think she's already infected.
Yeah.
Which is why they don't go up to the brain, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's because there's a dead cordyceps in her brain. In the game, you see it. They show you like a scan of her brain.
Okay.
It's just full of cordyceps.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's dead.
Yeah.
It's not doing anything. So what they want to do is they want to take the dead cordyceps out of her head.
Which they do explain in the... You just didn't see the scan, did you?
No, yeah, they explain.
It was just that, yeah.
They want to take that out and create a vaccination, basically. So that
I went to say anti-serum.
I was going to say something like that as well, but I don't know where I was going. But obviously what it's going to mean is Ellie has to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is obviously a big no-no for Joel.
No.
And this is one of the biggest contrasts, which I didn't get from the game and the difference that I feel with it in the game.
Yeah.
So in the game, it's as intense as the last episode you've just watched.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you spend a good, from memory,
half
an hour working your way up that hospital.
Right,
and it's just an action piece. It's just a half hour and it's dead hard because you've got like limited ammo and you've just got constant fireflies coming at you.
Yeah, yeah.
They flew through that process in this very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And I think that was a conscious decision by them, because rather than turning it into a big action set piece, it was really quick. It was very somber.
Yeah.
The music was really, really calm and chilled.
Yeah, yeah.
And rather than focusing on being this big action scene and...
In fact, the sound was brought down a little bit, wasn't it, at one point?
I think so,
As he's going through and just getting them all.
But rather than it being a big action piece where they made Joel the hero, like John McClane in Die Hard, blitzing through all these baddies.
Yeah.
It was focusing for me more on the people he was killing. And you were seeing the bodies fall to the floor and there were a couple of shots of the dead fireflies just lying there.
Yeah.
And in my mind, it was that, look at all these people that he's quite happy to let die to save this one girl.
Yeah.
Not only all the millions of people who are going to die because they can't get it.
Yeah, and that was the thing I was seeing as well.
But it was such a shift from the game, because it's gone from action, final big boss battle action piece to, this guy, is he the hero?
Yeah.
Is he the villain?
Yeah.
Because he's just killed the world, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amongst a load of other fireflies as well.
It was really well done. So the way I saw it, so I saw it quite similar to you in that it was focusing more on these
the deaths.
Yeah. But my thing was, as something switched so that he's gone, I'm not hesitating.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
And it's that whole thing
it's
where
the
he's
love
gone.
For him,
I'm
her
not
as
even
a
thinking about it now.
Yeah.
If they have to die, they have to die.
Yeah.
But it was the fact that, I mean, just beforehand, what's her name again? Marlene. She did say, you know, don't fight this because we'll have to kill you.
Yeah.
And she says that as he's escorted out.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he makes that conscious decision to go, well, if it's me or If it's essentially going to be me or you, it's
you.
I'm protecting myself.
Yeah, I know.
All the way through.
Yeah.
And then, so I just like that it's that massive contrast from him at the beginning hesitating to it kind of going too far into the not even thinking about it, just dead.
But it is, it's not thinking about anything. It's not thinking about the ramifications for the world as a whole, for all those people or anything like that. And it's quite admirable in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also not admirable.
No.
It's quite selfish in a way as well, isn't it? But, and that's why I think a lot of people are torn.
And then when he shot Marlene.
Yeah.
And then when he stood over and he went, "You'll just keep coming."
And it's true.
And he did it again. Yeah, yeah, it is 100% true. But the fact that he just then shot her in the head, I was like, damn, okay. This is where we are now.
And then it ends with Ellie's reaction to the whole situation.
Yeah.
Because he gives her an excuse.
So she wakes up in the car, doesn't she?
And
so she's been oblivious.
She's nothing special. There were loads of kids.
There's like a dozen kids all with the same thing. So.
And they can't do anything. But then a load of raiders came in and they killed all the fireflies. And she doesn't buy it.
She doesn't believe him at all.
Which is why at the end she says, "Tell me the truth. Is that really what happened?"
Yeah.
And he says, "I swear that's what happened." And she I still don't think she believes him.
No.
No.
From that reaction that she did to me, she doesn't believe him at all, but she's going to go with it.
Because I think she knows how much he must care about her to have done. She knows what he's done to a degree.
And she's not had somebody care that much for her before.
Exactly, yeah.
And so this would be the first time where someone who cares for her, and she could potentially ruin that, and she doesn't want to.
And it's that sort of difficult decision for her as well, because it's like she probably knows
it's
deep
almost
down.
Toxic.
Yeah.
To a degree, because it's too
deep
much.
Down. She doesn't know the ins and outs, but she knows deep down that he's gone and killed a load of people for something to do with her, to save her.
Yeah.
And he's stopping her being the cure.
Yeah.
And she's probably caught up between, well, should I be doing this? But at the same time, this guy loves me so much like a daughter, and I've never had a parent.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with it.
Everyone I've had has left me.
Exactly.
This guy can hold his own.
This guy who's not even related to me.
Yeah.
Who's taken me on over the period of like 3 months.
Yeah.
Has done it. And that was it.
Yeah.
That was the series. Phenomenal. Series. 2, 1, 2, 3. Absolutely
That's
brilliant.
Twice in two episodes
now. Two episodes
now.
In a row. I really enjoyed it.
Oh,
I can't wait for
amazing.
Series 2.
Yeah, same.
Really looking forward to
it.
No,
I've never played the second game.
I've never played it, but I know what happens.
And I've not yet seen any spoilers.
You're going to have to be really, really careful.
I know.
It's going to get spoiled.
No, I know.
They're going to make big changes, because it was very, very... A lot of people didn't like number 2.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So...
I've heard.
And I think there's a very easy way that they can sort of separate it into 2 series.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than that.
But well, they've said that's the intent, haven't they?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, but we'll see.
But, yeah.
Fantastic.
10 out
really
of 10 for me.
It. And even just going back through it now. Really,
I got goosebumps twice and I welled up as well.
Absolutely.
Just talking about it, because it was just so moving.
It was.
As a story.
Again, so heavy.
Oh, God, yeah.
So heavy, emotionally invested all the way through.
But like, as I say, phenomenal. Like, just brilliant.
Cracking. Should we see what listeners think? Should we do Pod Fans Assemble?
Yes.
Pod Fans Assemble.
So, as usual, we put our poll at the beginning to see what you thought. 89% of you loved it.
That's not unexpected. I suppose it is. I expected more.
11% said it was okay.
Okay.
So we had 0% hate. When's the last time we had 0% hate?
She-Hulk.
I stopped to think about that for a second then and then realised, why are you lying?
Why are you lying?
What are you lying for? So we got a message on Instagram from I Mean Hello, said, as you asked on Twitter, the brilliance of The Last of Us blew me away. I'm not a gamer and never heard of it till this show, but this was a gripping, harrowing and thoroughly entertaining show. Harrowing is a good word.
Harrowing, good word.
The acting has been amazing across the board, but Pedro and Bella certainly made the show work so well. That Bill and Frank episode will stick with me forever. Cannot wait for season 2.
Yeah, the Bill and Frank episode.
Oh, it's just...
So all
there was,
such
there was
good
no,
episodes.
There was no weak link.
There were weaker episodes, but none of them were crap.
Sorry, actor-wise.
Oh, no, not
there was
at all.
No weak link for me. Everyone put their all into it.
Yeah.
Like, even the guy who played the bloater, because that was a guy in a costume, and he nailed it.
Yeah.
Absolutely
everyone
nailed
all
it.
All the way through.
Meanwhile, Pod said, it's the perfect case study for how to successfully adapt existing IP. Sure, take some creative license, but don't colour so far out of the lines that your audience doesn't know what they're looking at anymore. The perfect counterexamples being Rings of Power and She-Hulk.
She-Hulk, yeah, there you go.
There you go. Superhero poll just put the GIF saying, best show ever!
Yeah, I kind of... animated. It's up there. It's up that. There.
Kenneth commented saying, mostly amazing recreation of the iconic game series. It's the best game to film TV translation I've ever seen, and it sets the benchmark super high for what comes next. Roll on seasons 2 and 3, and for those who haven't played or seen the second game, or its story, buckle the hell up.
God, yeah. I wish I... because I know what happens in number 2. I feel like I need to just play it rather than just... I feel like I'm not getting the full experience, not knowing it. Does that make sense?
No, I get you. Will said, started off very promising and ended strong. Think the ones without Joel were the weakest. Didn't really enjoy 6 and 7, but overall was very impressive and a really great adaptation. We'll definitely tune in for season 2.
Yeah, as we said, not bad episodes, but we get it.
I get
why they were the weaker ones.
Jesse, absolutely loved it. The writing was incredible. The cinematography was breathtaking. The characters were gripping, and Bella and Pedro broke my heart every week with their performances. Still having nightmares, but it, but it was worth it. One of the best shows I've watched in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it was. It's up there, isn't it?
Movies for Real said, as a huge fan of the game and someone who played the first back in the day, they did it justice and more. The things they changed for the show, all it did was add to the lore or make the story even better. Especially that Bill and Frank episode, big change from the game, loved it.
The Bill and Frank episode, it's the one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Again, not 100%. The most intense in any way, shape or form, but it's the one that everybody's going to remember.
Yeah.
It is the thing that you're going to remember from that series.
Oh, 100%.
It's just how are you gonna beat that in a series in season 2 and 3?
Yeah, yeah.
It was just so good and so out of left field.
I know.
Just weren't expecting that as an episode. I think that's why it was so good, because it was the shock when you got to the end of like, was that it? But wow, that was amazing.
One of the bits that I really laughed at was Ellie reading out that letter when he said something and then he went, that killed me off.
Perfect.
It was so
perfectly
funny.
Perfectly done. Thanks, guys, for getting involved then. Should we do Patreon shout-outs?
Yes.
So, thanks to Geeky8, Kenneth, Night Spearhead, Richard, Jessica, Avid Gamer, Sheldon, and Michael for supporting the show. Patrons get exclusive access to our bonus podcast, Into the Podverse, with brand new episodes every month. This month, we did Morbius commentary.
Yes.
Yeah, go and listen to it. It's hilarious. Listen to it if you've got time to do it. I'm thinking another commentary.
If you want
to
deal with two guys in their 30s absolutely dying while watching a shit film.
One of the worst films you've ever seen. Yeah. Go for it.
It's fun.
You'll have a laugh. Patrons also get discounts off merch and the ability to listen to the show being recorded live every week. If you want to access all the extra content and support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/thatsuperherothing or hit the link in the description.
Yeah.
Other than that, thanks for listening. Don't forget to come back next episode for our review of Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves. I'm so excited.
I can't wait
to watch this.
Can't wait.
Plus, all the latest comic book movie news. If you don't already, make sure to check out our socials at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for the latest updates on the show and calls to action for next week's PodFans Assemble. Finally, if you've enjoyed the show, make sure to follow us on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a rating or review on Apple or Spotify. The more 5-star reviews we get, the higher we got the charts and the more people will be able to find the show.
Yeah.
Other than that though, guys, I think we're done. Again, we'll definitely be back next week with Dungeons & Dragons, but then that might be it because there might not be any more Marvel stuff or any more DC stuff. I can't even talk. DC stuff. No more DC stuff. Other than that, I think I'm going to watch Mean Girls because it's tamer than the DC Rock versus Zachary Levi fight. Cheers, guys. See you next week.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.